After Copenhagen, I was hot to relaunch the body sex workshops. I wanted to have a workshop in Betty's living room. I wanted to have that authentic experience. And Betty was having none of it. It was a hard no. So I decided to shift tactics and appeal to her sense of legacy. So I came up with the idea and I pitched just filming a body sex workshop, because things had changed since the 80s when she filmed Self-Loving with a handheld VHS camcorder. And I'm like, we could do it in high def, have, you know, real sound production, and in her apartment, document this for history, for the ages. And she went for it. So she said, we can do the film, but you have to do everything. And we were doing well, but we didn't have five figures to pull out of cash flow to produce a film. So the first thing I did was launch a Kickstarter campaign. And I put up a whole bunch of flyers from the workshops and a video of me and Betty talking about the potential project. And it was exciting. It was exciting to see how immediately we started raising money. And the reward was you got a copy of the film on DVD. And instantly we raised 25 grand. I mean, we didn't even really try. It just kind of happened. And then everyone was clamoring. The next hurdle was casting. We wanted to shoot it like a documentary. If we had adult talent or any kind of performance, or if we scripted anything, we wouldn't be capturing the body sex effect, that transformation that happens to all women when you're in the circle. It had to be a documentary. So we couldn't pay people. So how was this going to happen? It took over a year to find all the women. We put a call out to all our bloggers, and we had a lot of people writing for us that we had never met. It was all virtual. And in our community, in the sexological community, and one by one, the women found their way to Betty's door. Leandra was from Australia, and she had been blogging for us for a better part of a year. Marisa was from the West Coast, a former Mormon, and she was writing for us as well. Sayaka came through a friend of a friend, and I believe she had a degree in sexology. She was from the West Coast. And then Davina, and she was a New York City native, and she heard about what was happening and almost demanded to be in the film. And she was so fantastic. And the missing piece was Sheila. Back in the 70s, when Betty launched the body sex workshops, she did it with Sheila Shea. We wouldn't have erotic recess without Sheila, because when Betty verbalized the fantasy that she had, that all of them in the circle started masturbating and their orgasm energy levitated the building and spread out on the streets of New York City, Sheila was the one who jumped up and said, hey, we have a case of vibrators in your bedroom, let's do it, and got them and started plugging them in. She had to be in the film. I wanted to do background interviews. And it's always great historically if you can get someone else's perspective for the same event. She had been at Now Sexuality Conference. They'd worked together for the better part of a decade. They hadn't spoken for the last 8 years. There was some falling out. I didn't go into the details because I didn't want to know, because I didn't want to get all those feelings back to the surface. And there was a little bit of resistance from Betty, but I knew she wanted to reconnect. You have to when someone was that important in your life and your journey. So I got him on the phone. And I called her on speaker and I said, Sheila, this is Carlin Ross. You might know me. And she knew. She was following us on the site. Every so often she would comment and she would pop her head up on social media. I said, I'm here with Betty. And this is an olive branch. We want to reconnect, and more importantly, I want you to be in our documentary. And instantly, Betty and Sheila were talking a million miles a second. Like they didn't skip a beat. And to me, that's true friendship. And it was a hard sell, though. I mean, I had a flyer. It was, where am I staying? She was very concerned about the releases they had to sign. But it was good. It was a good process. Sheila was in. So now we had all the women. Then we had to go about finding a director. And it had to be an all-female crew. You can't have a man in a room with that kind of stuff going on. The energy is more of a suck. It's just different. And the women behave differently. They stop being honest. That took a couple of months. And then we found the perfect director. And she was from the West Coast and would be bringing her crew from the West Coast. And then it was done, right? We had the money. We had the women. We had the director. I couldn't direct. I mean, I scripted everything out so she knew what a workshop was and what kind of questions to ask, but I was going to be in the circle, so I can't be directing behind the camera in front of the camera. Then it was just pick the dates, and we did. And then we got everyone's flights, and Marisa and Sayaka and Leandra stayed with me, and Sheila stayed with Betty, and Davina was local, so she stayed in her apartment. And it was just so great picking up for everyone from the airport. It was almost like it was like a super sex project. Like, who knew what was happening? It was like Fox Force 5. Here we come. And we're going to make this film. And we're going to save feminist history. And we're going to change the world. We all felt like this was sacred. We get to the apartment. And Leandra was late. And she had issues with her flight. And I remember she texted me. She was so stressed out. I said, just come to the apartment and we'll pop a bottle of champagne and we'll have some dinner. Just get here. We're all here. We're all waiting for you. I remember when she rolled in all sweaty and exhausted, she took a quick shower. And then we sat on my terrace overlooking the Brooklyn Bridge. And we all toasted with champagne. And I had never met these women before. And they would be sleeping in my apartment. And Leandra was an extra because her Airbnb fell through. So she had to sleep in my bed with me. And I had never met her before. But when you read someone's writing for a year, and when someone's coming to be in a documentary and display their vulva and their orgasm for the benefit of other women, they're good people. And we had a ball. We were drinking champagne. We ordered takeout. We were all showing. We were like, how did you groom? What is your grooming like? And what did you, I did the racing stripe. I did the, you know, oh, I let mine go bushy. And I had decided that I was going to not groom as much anymore, that I really wanted to grow out my bush. And that's because I had been inspired by Leandra. And her blogs talking about going natural and how soft her hair was on her vulva. And so I did. And so we made that connection and we were, having that moment between us. And then I did notice when she came in with her luggage that she had a very large bag. And I was like, it can't be clothes. And that's when she brought up, so by the way, I'm also shooting a documentary. I call it a sex documentary. Basically, I put a camera on a tripod. And then we just film a couple engaging in a sex act from beginning to end with no cuts. So you can really see how long things take, how long arousal takes. Would you be interested while I'm here and shooting a scene? And yes, I was very interested. And then we went back and forth on what we would do. And I'm like, I think it should be something, a sex act that I had never done in my entire life. And we settled on fisting. So after day one of the workshop, we would come back and shoot that scene. Okay, put a pin in that. Day one of shooting, there was a big mirror in Betty's living room where we'd be shooting, and you can't have a mirror when you have a crew. So we decided that I had just printed up one of Betty's masturbating nudes, Jackie with the panabrator on her hand, on a big piece of plexiglass. Dugal had done it. It was beautiful. So I'm like, we'll take down the mirror and we'll put up Jackie. So I think no big deal. Like, I'll pop it in the back of the cab. We go out my building, and as soon as we hit, my doorman and the supers and all the people, in the lobby, it was like a magnet. Like everyone was drawn to it. They, are you the artist? What is that? What does she have on her hand? It was incredible. Can't get a cab. So we're waiting. We have a call time. So I'm like, all right, we're going to have to go on the subway. And I really was preparing myself on like people scowling at me or saying nasty things or maybe throwing garbage. I mean, it's New York. We went on the subway as a group and the energy started again, like a magnet. People just came in. Oh, it's so beautiful. They were touching it. Asking about what is she doing and what's this and what's that pattern? Is that, that's an old school vibrator. Oh, it's right here. 1973. Who's Betty Dodson? We couldn't get like off the subway. So this is how we rolled into day one. And this shoot was really ordained by whatever the goddess of sexual love and abundance. I don't know. Everything was effortless. And everything came together perfectly. We roll in. Sheila and Betty are thick as thieves, having a great time. The crew is setting up, and everyone's elated. So we're nude. I mean, and we stayed nude really the whole time in the apartment because with all those lights, it's hot. And it was so joyful and relaxed. And no one in the crew freaked out, I have to say. In the beginning, it was like, oh, everyone's going to be naked. And then after a while, it was like, oh, yeah, everyone's naked. So we sit down and Betty looks at me and, we're action. And she says, Carlin, I don't know what to do. And I had taken one workshop. So I said, okay, we start with breathing, right? Everything starts with breathing. So we did the breath of fire. And in 2 seconds, Betty was there and she knew everything to do. And we did the group share. And it was just as poignant and profound as it is in the sessions. And I think that's because the way we shot it, the camera people weren't above us. We had one jib arm, but we created this little kind of like wooden box that the camera would sit on, and the camera women were laying on their stomachs. So the angles of the camera were like you were in the circle, and they were around us. Like the workshop was happening and the production was happening around us. Then we did genital show and tell. And it was so, so much fun. Betty went first. Then I went one by one. And here's why I say this was preordained. We had every vulva style in the circle. And we didn't ask for vulva portraits. I didn't know people's sizes or races, really, other than Sayaka, because her Japanese name gave her away. When I set everything up, I had no idea what vulva style anyone had. How remarkable. And then there was a moment where Sheila went and she had a huge clitoris and Betty didn't remember that. She's like, Sheila, your clit's bigger than mine. I can't believe it. Holy clit. We were all laughing. We were so engaged. And when we got back in the circle before we broke, each one of us thanked Betty and Sheila. I can't tell you how healing it is to have that sort of experience with an older woman, like it could be my mother, my grandmother, my aunt, to see their vulva and how vulvas don't age and talk about their sexuality and be proud to be naked and nude in their body. And I know it's hard. Sheila was 67. Betty was 82. But it had a profound shift in all of our lives, and it's made aging for me so simple and so easy. I feel so much gratitude knowing that my sexuality never ends and knowing that I can be 82, and I could be in a circle displaying my vulva and having orgasms and having this great time with all these amazing women. We went all out to dinner and we went out for Persian and we were sitting around the restaurant and we were so high and we were kind of loud. They asked us to be quiet because we were having so much fun because Betty and Sheila were telling us stories about old workshops. We were talking about what happened in the circle today and our reflections. And we were whooping it up in the restaurant. And then I called it early. I said, okay, guys, we got to go home. We have a full day tomorrow of shooting. Let's go home. So when we came back, erotic recess, you know, it's interesting. Like, how would the crew react? And Betty was perfection. She has such a way of putting people at ease by using her humor and guiding us step by step. And so first we, you know, vibrated our chakras, standing up, looking at each other, which is so nice to be given permission, right? To look and stand and not be on our backs with in the dark with our eyes closed. And then she guided us through slow penetration with the barbell. And Sheila really enjoyed that. She goes, Betty, we never did this. And I love this addition. And I love your barbell. And that moment was so special. That is true friendship, right? You're doing something new that we didn't do together. And it's great. And I have to tell you that. Oh, what a model for us in that circle. So then Betty called erotic recess. And we all start. And I think I kicked it off. I'm pretty sure it's enough because I have a fast orgasm, especially because I'm very aroused with all these women in my house. And Leandra and I were like, if we film a scene, we're not going to do it till after erotic recess. And we're not going to fool around at all. Like, we're just going to sleep next to each other because we're going to keep that newness for that night. The orgasms start to break out. So I kick it off and then it starts going around and going around. And what was amazing was the diversity of orgasm. This time I really saw it. Marisa had a crygasm, and that happens sometimes. We build up to an orgasm and all of a sudden it's like a release and the tears flow. And she liked looking at herself in a mirror and, you know, kind of like connecting with herself and her own image. And Sayaka has this really strong pelvic floor muscle. And then when she orgasms, it's like a wave. And so she would have these little queefing moments. And we were laughing and having fun. And it was so powerful. And Leandra, oh my God, that usually she uses her hands. So she used the vibrator. I remember her in the goddess position with the wand on her clit, just her whole body shaking in these beautiful waves, having these orgasms. Sheila too, very quiet, but you could see the wave, and Betty building up. And at one point Betty rolled up and she was just like, look at these women. Look at how beautiful you all are. She was like our maestro. And Davina likes to lay on her vibrator. At one point she was laying on it, humping it, and you could feel the vibration going through the carpet into our feet. It was like we were all connected. The energy was going around, 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 around. And then finally, we were really sweaty and really tired, so we stopped and we figured we got the shot. The crew was very quiet the whole time. They just took it all in. So we wrapped and we were all hydrating. And I heard one of the camera women walking through, talking to our director. And she said, you know, this is festival shit. I've never seen anything like this. This is something that everyone needs to see. And I knew in that moment that we had gotten it, that it was good, that Betty's work would be saved for the ages. Like, this was something special. As we were starting to get dressed, the jib operator, who was pregnant, she was actually in her eighth month, her last trimester. She said, wait, before you put your clothes on, guys, I want to take a picture of all of us for my baby's room. And I said, are you sure? She said, yes. So she stood in the middle and she just kind of pulled up her tank top and had her belly out. She had her pants, you know, leggings on. We were all nude and flanked her on either side. And it's one of my favorite pictures. Wow. You know, gratitude for that, that they saw it and they felt it and they knew it was real. They knew it was different and it wasn't pornography. And it wasn't something where anyone was less, right? And I think when people come together and we can share sex energy like that and take it out of that dominance model, whew, that's the core of Betty's work. So we went back to my place, everyone, we had a rap party. We danced, we sang. Leandra and I filmed our fisting scene. It was incredible. It's on the site. People always remark on it. And then they had to leave, and we, you know, we'd been together for 4 days, and no one wanted to leave. I think that's a sign of a good party. Everyone went home. And I waited. And once we edited the film, we had a viewing party, and then we sent out all our DVDs for our Kickstarter rewards and popped it on the site. And it only took about 6 months of emails of women saying, oh my God, I want to have this experience. Please relaunch the workshops. Please, please, please. And I knew I couldn't do it directly with Betty. I couldn't do the ask. I had to let the women ask because I knew that would get that. That would be the hook. And one day I came into the office and she said, Carlin, we have to give women what they want, and they want the workshops. And I'm willing to relaunch them as long as you do all of the work. Like, you do everything, all the enrollment, you set it up, and I just sit in the back room, and when I'm ready, you call me and I'll come in and sit down and I'll hold a space and I'll run the workshop. And I said, deal. So that's how the workshops were relaunched. I think without that film, it wouldn't have happened. Most recently, we've hosted Zoom parties, viewing parties. We watch the documentary and then I do a live Q&A. And it's an hour and a half. I mean, it's not short. And the women are rapt. And afterwards, they talk about how it was just shifted everything for them. And all of a sudden, they made connections and they want to know more and they feel healed. And I feel really proud of that because I just wanted the world to see how amazing Betty Dodson was and what she channeled. And she always said the women created the workshops. She held the space, she got them together, and she listened, and they told her what they needed. And that's how all the rituals were born. It's the perfect example of non-authoritarian education. And to have Sheila and all those women together, and to know that it's still evergreen. And every time I watch it, I take something else from it that's new. Some brilliant comment Betty makes, or just a visual that washes over me. So, thank you, Betty, Sheila, Marisa, Leandra, Sayaka, and Davina.